first of all, I would say this, is we feel it's very important to us, our connection with you and with the pastors, you know, to be connected to this body. It's very meaningful to us, and so that's why we drive an hour one way, and so glad to do it. And then I know Leanne has things to minister today, and I believe this. Be words from heaven going to help each one of us. Always, you know, best thing I did was meet Jesus. Second best thing was marrying her. And that's the truth. And so I so appreciate and love what Leanne carries from heaven. And so are you ready?
Praise God. I'm going to remember and say afternoon instead of morning. Hallelujah. Good afternoon. When Pastor Mary was sharing 2 weeks ago on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and she, towards the end, was speaking for a few minutes about what happened in the Garden of Eden when sin came in. And it started stirring some things in me. And so I went home and started pursuing some of those things. And out of that has come, you know, this message. Because when we recognize that in the beginning when Adam and Eve were created and they were in that union and fellowship with God, and when sin came in, there was a disconnect. God could no longer live in them because of the sin. It wasn't what God wanted. And we know that all through the rest of the history of time before Jesus came, God was pursuing to get that relationship back. But the thing that I saw when Mary was preaching was this role reversal. Because the Spirit of God was to be in ascendancy. And the primary purpose that God had given a soul to man was that that soul was to serve the Spirit. And the soul was also to relate to the natural world, which is vital. It's what we have to have. But that role reversal was devastating. Now, all of a sudden, man has the soul in ascendancy. He's looking inward. He's looking inward now for his answers. It's called humanism. He was looking to reason and natural logic. He was looking in the natural realm because his soul was dominating and his spirit was more or less covered up. And so what I believe we're looking at, and of course we know in the New Testament, Jesus came, he paid the price, hallelujah. You know, we've been made where this union can be like this again. But what has happened is, you know, we're with all of the natural understandings that we have, our culture, our mindsets, what can happen is we can even be born again, but our soul and our flesh can still be dominating and our spirit almost captive of being able to be what it's supposed to be or to function. And so we, you know, one thing that has been covered so thoroughly and beautifully, you know, in this church has been spirit, soul, and body. And then what a revelation I think that was to all of us. You know, according to 1st, you know, Thessalonians 5:23, that when the light came on and we realized we are a spirit. That's who we are. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. So it's nothing that's, it's not wrong that we have, you know, the soul. We don't want to be that, we don't value that. But I will find that, but when the soul, which, you know, is our mind, will, and emotions, when that soul is in ascendancy, the mind wants to figure everything out. And if it can't understand something or figure it out, the brakes are on. When we teach spirit-led prayer, we'll find that that's one of the things we have to break through. Because people, as long as they can understand everything we're going to do, and I'm not saying about being ridiculous. I'm not talking about anything goes. But I mean, anytime there's something you don't understand or something that's new, all of a sudden you reject it. Because I've got to understand everything with my natural mind. I've got to be able to figure everything out, or I'm not going with that. Or, you know, we all know too, even with our flesh, that the, you know, if the mind wants to figure it out, the flesh wants structure. The flesh wants it to be, okay, we're going to be this, 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 and this. It's going to, and so, and it's going to, it needs to be comfortable. It needs to be convenient, right? And we all know that when we start to recognize. So what I want to talk about today is just an awareness of God in us, awareness of the Holy Spirit, and awareness of the anointing. Because I believe that we're in a place now that all of us, wherever we're at, we know there's a hunger that I want to have it be, Mary was sharing, I want to know about this kingdom of heaven. I want to function in the things of the Spirit. I want to know God in a way that I haven't known him yet. And so the thing is, it's a part of all of us. It's a process. But it comes back to the responding. It comes back to the responding. You know, even this morning, as we're worshiping, we all have a choice. You know, if your mind starts to wander about doing something, we have a choice. Is my soul going to win? Or am I going to have my spirit respond? And all of my heart and all of my being, I'm here to worship you. We can all the time responding. That's why there's been a few times in a service when Pastor Mary's looked at me or there's been something and I'll say, oh, let's respond to that. Maybe Pastor Mary or Pastor Duane have said something, and it's so good, you know, what they've said, but we can go home and forget all about it. And sometimes it's almost a place of practicing responding. It is. And so in a church setting is a wonderful setting where we can start to practice even of responding. And those tugs that come on our heart, and responding to those. Hallelujah. When we were at Bible school, one of our instructors said something to me to us in our class that I wrote down in my old-fashioned journal that's falling apart. But I love it because I'll go back and it'll be those things that they'll be quickened to you again. And the thing that she said is we have much more capacity to know God than we realize. We have so much more capacity because we were created in his image. We know that from Genesis. We have so much capacity to know God. We have so much capacity to know God than we can realize. And when she said that, it impacted me. And I have to remind myself. Because we could think, oh, they're just acting weird. You know, that is not what this is about. This is about the fact that the more, because you know, the more you get to know God, the more you want. The more you know about spiritual things, the more you keep opening up because you recognize it's real and it's wonderful. And, you know, some of those things, you know, that you just fought and fought, you know, that you thought, oh, you don't want to do that anymore. You know, like, oh, no, you know, we're going to have to give that up and give this up. And I find that as you keep going with God, you just don't want to do some of those things anymore. So it's not into the do's and don'ts. It's in that excitement of if I choose this, what will I receive? Hallelujah. So the Because the thing she also said is God can do amazing things in our hearts if we're open to respond. You know, we have, you know, there's the teaching of the word, and it's taught and it's anointed, and there's workings of the Spirit. But I have found, too, that sometimes the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes in somebody's heart than years. He has a way of knowing what's discouraged somebody, what's put a limit on somebody, and he can have just the right words. There can be anointing in the room. There can be a demonstration of the Spirit. And he works. Hallelujah. So, but with this, you know, it's a process. You know, I can remember, you know, I think we probably shared this before, you know, in the beginning days when we'd even go to church and they'd be hugging each other. And even though I'm sanguine, I'd hide in the bathroom the whole time till they were through. Because I never, no one ever did that in the church I'd been to. I mean, the first time, you know, when we went to a hunter's meeting and they were calling, anybody who's Methodist, come forward and be slain in the Spirit. Well, I didn't know what slain the Spirit meant, but I knew I was Methodist, right? So I went forward, and the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. The power of God was real. And I knew God had touched me. Now, if I had not gone up there, I probably would have thought they're pushing him. I would have probably could have thought they're faking it. But these things of God that touch your life and you know they're real, then it opens us up more and more. Hallelujah. So this, I want to use this illustration of a garage door and a garage door opener. And I know that doesn't sound very feminine, but it's in the summertime, that's one of my jobs. Because, we, you know, in our garage, we have a refrigerator and a deep freeze. And so that really makes a difference when it gets too hot. So one of the first things, when it's even before sometimes it's daylight, my thing is I go out there and I want to make sure I open that garage door some so I can get cool air in there. But we also know that it's wisdom in the community that we live in that you don't leave your garage door open all the way for any length of time. So the first time, you know, you're getting ready to do that and you have the garage door opener in your hand. And so my goal is, you know, I want to just open this just a little bit. So you push the garage door opener, the garage starts going up, hit that button, you get it stopped. Well, you know, I recognize from the outside, you really can't see much yet. You might be able to see the tires. You might be able to see maybe a bicycle tire or something, but you really can't see much. But if you, I'll go back and I didn't get opened enough. I'll go back and I'll touch that opener. Press the button. It's going up higher. I'll stop it. You know, if someone was looking in that garage, they could see a little bit more. Now, they couldn't see anything in the back. They couldn't see anything probably on the walls or up high, but they could see a little bit more. The illustration I want to be bringing out is, you, in your imagination, think about this garage holding the things of God, the kingdom of God. And we're the ones with the opener. Our choices. We're the ones. Are we going to open? But each time we respond, each time we yield to God, we push the button. Each time we see a little bit more of him, every time we see the reality of what we're doing and he and who he is, we're open a little bit more. Push that button. So let's say that, you know, you decide, okay, push the button a little bit more. Oh, now at this point, I can see quite a bit more on the bottom. Oh, I can even see there's some tires. I don't know what the vehicle looks like yet, but I know there's a vehicle in there. And I could probably at this point even bend over, you know, and probably crawl under there and maybe carry a couple things out. Not anything big, Probably not what I would want, but I can get a few things out. But if I push that button again, the higher it goes, the more I can see. And pretty soon I can start to see, oh, there's a lot in this garage. I can start to see on the back wall. He has a lot of tools. You know, he goes to Menards a lot. And so anyway, I can see, oh, there's something back here. I can see something back here. My desire for my choices is starting to change. So now I'm in a place here where I have all of a sudden seen that in this garage is this gorgeous vehicle. We've never owned a new car, but maybe someday, hallelujah, we will, huh? Hallelujah. Because this looked like it was brand new. It was so shiny. In fact, it was shiny. And that's when I recognized, I thought, Lord, are you trying in this carnal illustration? This is the glory of God. But you know what? That car still can't come out if the door is even up to here. But as I would press the button again, and that door keep going higher and higher, there's a day when I can get in that vehicle, put it in reverse, and drive it out of that garage. But the thing that I realized that I think he's saying to all of the church right now is he doesn't have the opener. We do. And he's not going to take the opener from us and push the button. But he's bidding us. And so when Master Mary was teaching a couple weeks ago about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, you know, you start, I think we're all still like trying to, okay, get our minds wrapped around that. But it was like I saw in this kind of a crazy analogy, inside this garage was like the kingdom of God. There is so much for us to keep learning and responding to. So hallelujah. So, but I think one of the reasons that, one of the things that will help us respond more is the more we even understand. I talked about, because understanding is not wrong, as long as it's not being the governor. As we come, in fact, it's not really understanding, maybe it's called revelation. And revelation is when we realize, when we get it in our spirit, when we see it. It's not just information. It's like a light comes on and we know it and we understand it in our spirit. You know, one time when we were praying with we're going to be praying with her again. We haven't prayed with Diane for years. But anyway, you know, when we get to praying, you know, we all have different ways that God uses and assignments that we have. And one of the ways that Dennis and I pray is we'll pray in tongues, and then phrases, English words will come out. That doesn't mean anybody else has to pray just like that. And it's not the only river we pray in. But when English words come out, they have a weight on them, because you can say them 5 years later and they still have weight on them. And the phrase that came out was, lower your resistance so you can receive your assistance. Lower your resistance so you can receive your assistance. I believe that that's what he's doing in this right now. Is he's helping us to lower our resistance, because we have different mindsets, we have different ideas of God, we have different ideas of church, we have different ideas of Christians, and those things can start to make us rigid or indifferent to some of these things of God. And he's just saying, hey, just trust me for a little bit, just lower your resistance, and I'll give you the assistance. Another phrase that came out, which I didn't even know I was going to be sharing these, but the other phrase, because I would say these are several years ago, but still when I say them, they hit me. He said, breakthrough thoughts to move through the hindrances. So when we get a certain truth that comes into us, when we first even recognize healing really is in the Bible, it's a truth. It's not something, you know it. And that breakthrough thought will help you move through a hindrance. So I believe he's giving us breakthrough thoughts to move through the hindrances. And what I mean by that is we're getting revelation, like the lights coming on of certain truths. So whatever hindrances any of us have in any of our areas of walk with God, walk with anything else, there are thoughts, breakthrough thoughts, revelation coming to our hearts to help us move through those things. Hallelujah. I am going to actually have us get through scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. I do want to have us talk a little bit about God being inside us. And I'm going to just go through a few of the scriptures, because that was something that the Spirit has even been really emphasizing to me. Like, who lives in you? And so I'm just going to read a couple of these because I know I'm going to run out of time. So 1 Corinthians 3:16. So you can just use your imagination, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We've heard these scriptures. We can maybe even say them. But the Spirit's been working on my heart about really grasping the fact he dwells in me. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? In 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people. But the one that really stands out to me is 1 John 4:4. And this morning, during pre-service prayer time with the music, Pastor Sean quoted it. He talked about, greater is he that's in you, in me, that's seen, that's in the world. And recently, Dennis and I are teaching Burma students by Zoom. And so on Tuesday nights, we are teaching on prayer. And these kids are in a really hard situation. You know, the compound is like an oasis, but their homes, the villages, all the area around them is very negative, very oppressed. I mean, it would look in the natural like there's just no hope for these kids but God. And so I was teaching on Luke 18:1 about we should always pray and never give up. And just out came the scripture, 1 John 4:4. And, you know, it talks about that we little children, you know, you've overcome. Because greater, you know, it talks about the greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But when it came out, I found myself not emphasizing that he was greater, though that's vital. When I was teaching the kids, it came out, greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Every single time, the Spirit of God would be emphasizing in you. In you. In you. Great, yes, it's amazing. We have to know that he's greater. That's what gives us all hope. He's greater. He's greater than the devil and anything that can come against us. But if we don't know he's in us, if we don't have the reality that he's in us, that we're walking with the greater one in us all the time, then having just the revelation that he's greater will not change all of our situations. But when it comes up to the point that we know that the greater is he that's in you, greater is he that's in me, greater is he that's in me, greater is he that's in me, I feel like I need to take a scouring rag and with my brain and just keep going, he's in you. Greater is he that's in you. Everywhere we go, everything we do, he's in us. Everywhere we go, he's in us. The greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in you. In fact, you know, if I had you as a class, I'd have us do that right now. Point to ourselves. Because I found when I was teaching that night, every time I'd go in me, greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's it's in me. That's in me. That's in me. Do we believe it? Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That night when I was teaching it, I felt like every time I said that he's in me, something was going in me. It's like we're talking about that revelation. Because it's something we get information, but it's the revelation when we know that he's in us. Greater is he that's in me. I think we might even need to say that. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do we get it? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God Almighty lives in me. God Almighty, I am the temple of God. We now carry God inside us. We know that Jesus, when he was baptized, and it says the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and was on him and empowered him. The same Holy Ghost is in you. It's the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't have twins. There's not two Holy Ghosts. I've had to just ponder on that. The same Holy Ghost that came down from heaven and ascended on Jesus like a dove and equipped him, and he went about doing good. Yes, we know he received him without measure, but the same Holy Ghost that came down on Jesus and equipped him is the same Holy Ghost that's living in us. It's not twins. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he's in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to read a couple more of these. But if the spirit of him, this is Romans 8:11, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body by his spirit who dwells in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. In Romans 6:4, it even refers to this same spirit that raised Christ from the dead as the glory of the Father. Therefore, in Romans 6:4, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So we should walk in newness of life. So the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, which we know is the Holy Ghost, the same spirit is the glory of God. So who lives in us? The very glory of God. The very glory of God. The very glory of God lives in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's in us. You know, I still find that when I'm saying it, I think I'm still endeavoring to convince myself. And that's okay. That's okay, because what it is, we're responding. We're opening up the door just a little bit more, because I would have told you, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know God lives in me. Hey, I want it to be that every fiber of my being knows God lives in me. You know, because that's one thing, too, makes every believer so precious. Wow. The glory of God's in you. The glory of God's in me. And there's a purpose for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the greatest purpose is he wants to be there. He waited a long time to be able to be there. Hallelujah. And he wants a lot more people. Hallelujah. I got to find, praise God. So I want us to look to on the help of the Holy Spirit, the awareness of the Holy Spirit. And again, I know I've been giving quite a bit of information, and so we could spend so much time on this. And I think what does happen, I think so many times when we start teaching on the Holy Spirit, we do lump so much together that sometimes it's an overload. You know, and so I do want to go through a couple of these things with the Holy Spirit, because I will say to you that when I had a breakthrough thought and I recognized this Holy Spirit's real, and all these silly things I'd heard about him, all the silly things I'd seen people do, that wasn't reality. And I had that breakthrough thought, and I realized the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I recognized the working of the Holy Spirit was real, and I moved through that hindrance, and it changed our lives. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Of course, especially where Dennis and I teach on prayer, Romans 8:26 has been a very important scripture. It talks about, you know, he helps us with our weaknesses. He helps us with our infirmities. I can't tell you the number of times we get prayer calls and we almost don't even know where to start. So what we have to, so praise God for the word of God, but praise God for him, because there's so much we don't know. There's so much we don't know. Our son-in-law is a pilot. I can't tell you the number of times his life has been saved because the Spirit knew when we didn't. Hallelujah. Praise God. With that, that's way ahead of myself. But when the respect came in my heart for the Holy Spirit, a true respect, because he is the Godhead that's on the earth right now. Jesus lives in us, but he lives in us through the agency of the Holy Ghost. Everything that's executed right now in this dispensation is the Holy Spirit. I can remember when we were in the denominational church, and I'm not saying this to make fun of them, but that's where we were. But I remember that somebody was going to come in and do a session on the Holy Ghost, and everybody was like, what's this going to be like? Well, you know what? It changed our lives. Because he is the God right now that's in us, that is our helper. You know, and it even says in John 14:26, in the Amplified, it even says, because Jesus was telling him, he says, I'm going to leave. But it was so cool as he said, I'm sending someone who's just like me. The disciples, of course, you imagine, they're at such a point of despair. Jesus is going to leave. And Jesus said, I'm going to send someone that's just like me. He says, but the Comforter, and those names, these are the names, and I'm going to go through these fairly slow, and we're not going to teach on them. But this is more of the garage door that opens up. Because it says he's a counselor. He's a helper. He's the intercessor. He's a strengthener. He's your advocate. He's your standby. And Pastor Mary would be so proud of me. I looked in the Passion Translation, and it says he's the encourager. And I think what happened to me so many times, we'd hear a teaching and we go, he's a counselor, the helper, the strengthener, the intercessor, the standby, you know, this, you know, the advocate. And it would, but it's, and is, and I don't think we have to know everything what all these words mean. You know what a helper is. You know someone who stands by you. You know someone who helps you. You know, advocate is that lawyer. He's the strengthener. He's the intercessor. You know, and sometimes I think, you know, people thought, well, he hasn't helped me. But I think it's because we haven't really known enough and we haven't responded. Because let's say you'd say, he hasn't helped me. Well, have you leaned on him? Have you asked him? Have you just said, help me? That's where I think the key is right now. It's in the responding. But sometimes we just haven't even really known we can do it. Or we haven't recognized what a difference it would make. He's the strengthener. I don't know how many times I can be whining about that instead of appropriating it. I mean, I'm not saying abusing something else, but when you have a situation and you're believing God, some of these people that have been in medical battles, there's the strengthener. There is the strengthener. There is the strengthener. The helper. You know, I love the one that says he's the standby. Where am I on my time? He's the standby. You know, our son-in-law is a pilot. And, you know, he's always waiting for that last power he puts in. They call it the standby. And then he's airborne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm just believing that any of our preconceived ideas about the Holy Ghost, that we are becoming so open of what other teaching, you know, because it talks, you know, in if you go through John 14, 15, and 16 on your own, that will help more. Because Jesus, he's telling them, he says, it's the Spirit of truth. He's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. I've heard someone say that if we will trust him, he can always lead our heart out of doubt. He can always lead us out of defeat if we'll trust him. You know, it says that he'll bring things to our remembrance. It says whatever he hears, he'll speak to us. Hallelujah. So John 14, 15 and 16. It's 14, 26, 15, 26. And then in John 16, 7, he even tells the disciples, it's an advantage to you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Spirit can't come. Hallelujah. He will show us things to come. I think the biggest change that happened in my heart was when I had a great respect come into my life about the Holy Ghost. I don't understand all of it, but I trust him, and the more that I'm open to learn, the higher the garage door goes up, and the more I can see. So I want to share just a little bit here on the very end on the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing, of course, referring is to is the oil. The anointing, I know we use that phrase, and you know, sometimes, what do you mean by the anointing? And there could be all probably big discussions made, but I would just say it's beyond you. Whatever you, when we have the music up here and they're doing the songs, you know, there's going to be a time that they're having to even learn the notes and think in their mind. But it's when it becomes beyond you. You realize it's not just what you're playing. And that's what makes all the difference. This morning when they were practicing, I was just sitting in here, I could sense his presence. And his presence was like moisture. His presence was like dew. You know, I had a situation. My brother, my older brother, was 4 years older than me, and he was quite a character. So I have to always blame that being in trouble a lot was his fault. But we grew up on a farm, and we had lots of chores, so we had a great allowance. We got paid really good. The only problem was Larray and I never had our allowance, usually more than about 15 minutes, because we lived a quarter mile from Jommer's junkyard. And he had violins with three strings. He had boxing gloves. You know, he had any, you know, as a kid, you know. So my brother and I, we even had our own junkyard after a while, you know. And so we didn't have any allowance left, but we had a junkyard. And so anyway, Mom was getting quite frustrated and trying to figure out what to do. Well, anyway, this one time, Larray and I, we go up there, and he had a gunny sack full of popcorn that was still on the cobs. It was all, it looked great. It was all different colors and beautiful. And so Larray and I had visions of popping this popcorn and the smell of it and putting butter on it. I mean, we just thought we'd hit the gold mine this time. And then, so we have this heavy sack of popcorn that we drag home. And Mom, when she saw it, I know, she thought, here we go again, you know. I think she realized this time we're going to learn a lesson. She didn't tell us. This popcorn's too old. This popcorn's too dry. It'll never pop. She let us go through all the work, shucking it, cleaning it. We did all the processing of it. We had ourselves ready, man. We both thought we were just had hit the moon this time. We get that popcorn, start to get the heat. It smells. It's dry, curl, drying up. There's no popping. Mom knew there was not enough moisture in it. She thought about time, and you know what? It did cure us. Jommer had our money, and we had popcorn that wouldn't pop. But that illustration comes back to me sometimes, because I'll recognize in life we get too dry. Especially when the heat comes, we don't smell so good. What we need is his presence. Like the dew. And that's one of the keys of worshiping, which is not just at church. Because Dennis and I get, like I said, a lot of prayer calls that come in. And I can start to tell when I haven't been worshiping, because I can start to get, I'm too dry. I'm starting to get overwhelmed. Sure enough, I get back in his presence of the Holy Spirit, get back in that presence, get into that dew, get it, my focus gets in him, that refreshing comes from him, and there's that dew, there's that life that comes in, and it makes all the difference. One time when Dennis and I were at a prayer meeting, and we had come in, and oh, they were having this wonderful worship. And they did, I think, maybe one song, maybe two. And I thought, they didn't sing long enough. You know, I mean, so self-righteous, you know, like, they should have done praise and worship longer. We were just getting into it, you know. We should have stayed in praise and worship. And the Spirit of God corrected me and said, they weren't too short. You came in too dry. I hadn't been worshiping at home. I'd been praying a lot, but I hadn't been worshiping. I hadn't been letting that presence, that dew, that of that presence of the Holy Ghost breathe on me, give me moisture. So when I got an environment was there, I didn't think they were going long enough, because I need more and more. Hallelujah. So we can do that any time, at any moment. We can lift up our heart. We can focus on him. And we can let that dew, that rain, pour on us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I am totally unfocused on time. Yeah, I knew that happened. Can you help me?
Yes. Because what each one of us carry with
Yes. 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 When we have these times of things of the Spirit, I'm so glad we're recording them now. Because, you know, just like a sermon, if we have a sermon and Pastor Duane and Pastor Mary, whoever's ministering, you know, give us this great sermon. But if we don't ever really partake of it, go back over it, let it affect us, then it's just done a minimal work. And the same thing's true when something comes out by the Spirit. Lots of times we don't even remember what was, but if we don't give it any value or any measure, then it's not going to have that much impact in us. And so it's something that, you know, I want to get so much more skilled than Dennis and I are right now in the things of even tongues and interpretation. Because, you know, I know the more that we can hit accuracy, the more things that we can do with things in the Spirit. I mean, when we were in another church in another state, there was a man who was a wonderful man, but he'd grown up in Pentecost, and he had gotten where almost every Sunday he had, like, he'd do the same tongue and the same interpretation. And so Dennis and I, you know, after a while we kind of think, oh, this tongue's interpretation. You know, what is this? And then we found these people, Mama and Papa Goodwin. They were pastors. They were pastors, and we found out they had all these profound things happen with tongues interpretation. They were pastors. They did all their counseling. When people came in for problems, they did tongues interpretations, how they counseled the people. They would have things happen where they would speak in that person's language and tell them exactly what they needed and exactly what would happen. And it whet an appetite in us. That there are things that some people are never going to get helped. There are some things that it will be the anointing of God that even opens somebody up so they can receive. There's such of these movings of the things of the Spirit. And so when, like even with tongues interpretation, when we first started to flow in it, I did the tongue and he did the tongue and I did the interpreting. And then we recognize something doesn't seem quite right, and we switch that. And it's always a learning. And even when we don't do it for a while, sometimes it's like a stretch, you know, a stretching back into some of these things of the anointings. But we know it's real. I know when it happens, it's beyond me. I know I'm not thinking of that. And when I even had started to have some of the actions that would come with it, at first my head's going like, no. You know, but what happens that helps you is you're so far over where you're yielded to your Spirit that you're not thinking about all of it. But when I would have actions with tongues interpretations, I'm seeing them. I'm not knowing what I'm going to speak, but I see those actions. And so then I just act that out. So I believe with all these realms that we're endeavoring to walk into, you know, like that, and I'll close with this, is, you know, if someone came up to you and said, well, you know, you can't know you're going to heaven. I mean, Dennis had a classmate get furious with him that he thought he could really know he was going to heaven. And he was a Christian. But how dare you think that you can know that you're going to heaven? He was furious with him. Well, you wanted to say, I'm sorry, but you're too late. You know, I know from the word and I know from the experience. And if someone would come up to you and say, well, I want you to know healing's not for today. God doesn't heal today. You'd have to say, oh, too late. Yeah, right. Too late. Yes. Too late. I'm from the word.